It's 8 o'clock in South Central Wisconsin, and you are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. We're also streaming on the web at WORTFM.org, and we've got BBC World News coming up at 1 minute after the hour, followed by the 8 o'clock buzz with Tara Wilhelmy. This is Peter Haney saying we'll see you on the back porch next week, and thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Roisin Hasty with the BBC News. The Israeli military says it's continuing its airstrikes on Gaza, which Hamas officials say have killed more than 400 people, including the group's heads of government and security. Israel said it had taken action because Hamas had refused a proposal to extend the first phase of the ceasefire. The group instead wanted to move directly to the agreed second phase of the truce. There's been widespread international condemnation of the strikes, although the US was informed in advance. Rolando Gomez is a spokesperson for the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Secretary General is shocked by the Israeli airstrikes in Gaza, in which a meaningful number of civilians have been killed. He strongly appeals for the ceasefire to be respected, for unimpeded humanitarian assistance to be reestablished, and for the remaining hostages to be released unconditionally.
A senior United Nations aid official has described the Israeli airstrikes as unconscionable. Mohamed Hadi, who's the UN's humanitarian coordinator for the Palestinian territories, said the Palestinian people had endured unimaginable suffering. He called for the ceasefire to be reinstated immediately. A UNICEF spokeswoman in Gaza said she'd woken up to her guest house shaking. She said for 15 minutes there'd been loud explosions every 5 or 6 seconds. Ukraine's foreign minister has urged Russia to agree unconditionally to a 30-day ceasefire to show if it really wants peace. Andriy Sybiha was speaking ahead of a much-anticipated phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
We do really expect from Russian side unconditional yes for ceasefire. According to the public statements, we could expect telephone conversation between President Trump and President Putin. We do really hope that we will get more clear situation after this conversation.
Mr. Putin's spokesman said the US and Russian leaders would discuss both the normalization of bilateral relations and the Ukrainian settlement. Germany's parliament is debating proposed changes to the constitution to loosen restrictions on government spending. Government borrowing, it would allow for billions more to be spent on defence. From Berlin, here's Frank Gardner.
Friedrich Merz and his partners have been working very hard to try and put together a coalition that will agree to push these forward. So the major parties have agreed, including the Greens, because they were initially unhappy about it, but there are sweeteners in terms of climate change proposals and investment in infrastructure. This isn't just about defense, it's about a 500 billion euro fund for developing some of Germany's sort of abandoned industries or projects, as it were.
BBC News. The price of gold has reached an all-time high as global uncertainty boosts demand. The precious metal is traditionally seen as a safe haven for investors. Its price per ounce rose above the $3,020 mark as Israeli forces launched fresh airstrikes in Gaza. Pakistan's top civilian and military leaders have held a security meeting to discuss a sharp escalation in militant attacks. The Prime Minister, Shahbaz Sharif, said the Army Chief General, Asim Muna, were among those at the closed-door gathering. Police in the Indian city of Nagpur have arrested more than 50 people after clashes over a demand to remove the tomb of a Muslim ruler who died more than 300 years ago. A curfew has been imposed in parts of Nagpur and security has been tightened around the tomb. Our South Asia regional editor Ambrasan Etirajan has more details.
A Hindu right-wing group has been campaigning to dismantle the tomb housing Emperor Aurangzeb, a Mughal dynasty ruler in the 17th century. It's in the city of Aurangabad, now known as Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar. Hindu nationalists say Aurangzeb persecuted Hindus. Violence broke out in Nagpur after Hindu protesters set fire to the effigy of him along with a symbolic replica of his grave. The Prime Minister Narendra Modi has made several references to Aurangzeb in the past, accusing him of trampling on the Hindu faith.
Scientists in Britain say they've found evidence that the genetic origins of modern humans are far more complex than previously thought. Researchers at the University of Cambridge say our species is descended from at least two ancient populations that became separated 1.5 million years ago. These early hominids developed independently before reconnecting several millennia later. Previous studies found Homo sapiens first appeared in Africa from a single genetic lineage.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
The WORT Board of Directors will hold its regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday, March 19th at 6 p.m. in person at the station at 118 South Bedford Street. The public is welcome to attend. This meeting is also available virtually via Zoom. For information on how to attend this meeting virtually, please email president@wortfm.org. WORT thanks its listener sponsors and TNW Ensemble Theater, presenting Scammed, a new comedy running March 13th through March 23rd at TNW Ensemble Theater, 1957 Winnebago Street. When a freelancing editor falls for a classic scam, she assumes the amoral alter ego of Helen Wheels to get even. Tickets are available at the door with cash or check or online through Ticket Tailor. More information is available by calling 608-770-0826. YWCA Madison invites you to join them to celebrate the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. YWCA Madison is eager to gather with their community of supporters to share stories that speak to who they are and demonstrate their values of humanity, community, growth, and restoration, which are at the heart of how they move as an organization. Attending the Circle Fundraiser impacts the lives of thousands of women, children, and families who are served each year through YWCA's transformational programs in housing and shelter, employment and transportation, restorative justice, and learning and movement building. More information about the Circle Fundraiser and other YWCA programs and resources can be found at ywcamadison.org. That's the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center. Keeping you informed of community events and resources, this is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 Madison. Listener sponsored community radio.
The People's Station.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Oh, I say, you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
Man, listen, this is 2023, and we swinging chairs. I am not my ancestors, B.
Good morning, Madison.
Okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Madtown. It's your girl. I've been gone. Y'all have had great shows, but they've been without me. I've been traveling. I've been sick. And yes, I even had a grandbaby. What? Okay, yes. She came. He came early. And she was a little pleased and pressured. But hey, he's here. He's healthy. And I'm just so happy. But I'm in the studio. I've got live guests. I've got a guest that's like live but on Google. But that works for us. And you know I love having people in here with me. So it's going to be a great morning. It's spring in Wisco. So it's like cold warm. But we're going to get through it. We see the sun coming. It's going to be green pretty soon, right? But hey, good morning. You're listening to WORT Madison 89.9 FM. This is the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz with your girl Tara, aka Tia, baby. Yes, it's stuck. And I've got some great people in the space with me today. I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves. And let's get into it. It's going to be a great conversation today.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Andrea Camilleri, and I am here representing the Chamber of Mothers. I am one of three co-facilitators working as a volunteer in that organization to bring together and unite mothers in our community around three pillars. We are really passionate about paid family leave, maternal health, and affordable childcare here in Wisconsin and across the nation. And so I'm here with my co-facilitator, Jackie. We are both local moms. I've lived in Madison since 2004. I've always been vocal about politics and issues, racial equity and social justice. But I heard about Chamber of Mothers from a friend of mine who lives in Chicago and recommended it to me. And I started looking online at some of their things, and I saw an ad that they were looking for a Madison facilitator to really kick off this new chapter, and it just felt like it was meant to be. It was such an exciting opportunity. So I'm stretching myself with these new challenges. It feels like in these times we all need to do some of that, push ourselves a little beyond our own limits for the better of our betterment of our community. So Jackie, I'll turn it over to you. Say hi.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Jackie Cook, one of the co-facilitators of Chamber of Mothers with Andrea. I'll tell a little bit of my backstory. I have lived in Madison most of the last 20 years, but in 2015, when my son was born, I was living over in the Netherlands and then moved back here to Madison, where my daughter was born in 2018. And I had a really stark contrast of what postpartum support looked like between having a baby in Europe and having a baby in the US. And so that was around the time when I started really tuning into other new mom stories and looking at how we support new moms in the workplace and in our communities. So when Chamber of Mothers started ramping up over the last couple of years, I was really excited to help bring it to the Madison area.
Thank you so much, ladies, for introducing yourself. One, won't the universe just swirl in the way it's supposed to? Until you both started talking, I didn't realize the relevance in my own personal life right now to what the work you're doing. And then I thought about how many key words both of you just naturally spoke that align so well with not only my own personal philosophy of the world, but the way that we really try to communicate with the community. Right? The things that we have been intentional about bringing on the show. So you were already welcome, but you're definitely, definitely part of the village. Let's hear some more about the details. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about the work. Definitely a high need, definitely something we're focused on. And then you all just heard me say, I welcomed my grandbaby. And so having just left the birthing suites, even just making the connections between my experience, which was a couple decades ago, and then watching and being in the room as an observer for this last thing, and something that I was talking about with one of the foundation doulas, so Foundation of Black Women's Wellness, is another partner and friend to the show in my organization, and talking to her about the reality of how hard it was for me, like ignorance can be bliss, right? And so thinking about while I was able to go back with the education and the perspective I've gained as an adult and think about my birthing experiences, being in the room with my daughter and having all these facts swirling in my head and kind of really watching how the medical staff, the moves and decisions and treatment and aligning that with, for me, the Black maternal and child rates, in, you know, the mortality rates in our state, right. And watching that really start to play out in a couple different cases. So thank you, ladies, for the work you're doing, first of all. But then let's jump in. Tell us a little bit more detail about what's going on. And of course, please, multiple times throughout this conversation, let us know how other moms can get connected to the work.
Okay.
Well, first off,
I know that wasn't a small thing, right?
Thanks for that, Tara, and congratulations on your new brand.
Thank you.
Really glad to hear that he's healthy, and also really glad to hear that you were connected, that your family was connected with the work the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness is doing and the doula program there. I think that's a really important component of changing the statistics.
Yes.
Over time, and the more that we can collectively support that effort, I think the better. There's really, really good statistics around the impact that birth doulas and postpartum doulas have for maternal health.
Yeah, I watched it. I really watched the difference. And then also, admittedly, this partnership with the foundation goes back. And so I've had the training. And so it just, like I said, it was a hindrance and a help to have those facts swirling in my head. Anyway, yeah, absolutely. And thank you, because he's our shining third generation. And I'm so excited. I am an adoptee. And so this is my first chance to see like my crooked pinky toe make it across the generations, right? Like, something that bothered me as a kid. Now I was like thrilled to see it in his little swaddle. So
look at that cute pinky.
Yeah, that was the cute crooked pinky toe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just it. And you named one amazing partner in the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness, but we are looking to, you know, extend into the expertise in our community, build on the organizations that are out there that are doing amazing work. We don't pretend like we're the first ones to have these ideas, that this work matters. There are a lot of different organizations that are leading the way. And so really, we are looking to bring together a force of mothers who can amplify those messages, raise them up, make them heard by their local representatives. So motherhood can be very isolating. I think a lot of women go through a period of grieving after birth and postpartum depression, which is just barely starting to shed the stigma that it's carried in our society. And people are recognizing it as a real medical condition. So, you know, the world kind of gaslights you into thinking that this is such a joyous period of life that so many girls and young women are raised to look forward to. And when you get into it, you realize just how lonely it can be. And for Jackie and I, we happen to have very young children in the midst of a pandemic. So that was like a double whammy. So we're thankful that we're through, you know, that period. But now we are in a situation where our rights are being threatened as women, as mothers. And so we hear a lot about that from the women who have come together in our initial meetings of our local chapter. So so far, we have held just two meetings via Zoom and are building a community both online and in those meetings. And then we look forward to our third meeting taking place on April 8th. We'll be meeting via Zoom at 11 a.m. So you can head over to chamberofmothers.com or email us at madisonchapter at chamberofmothers.com, and we will then get you on the list. You can then get connected with us and hop into a meeting, whether it's the next Zoom meeting or May 13th, we'll be coming together at Goodman Library on South Park Street. So either that April midday meeting. A lot of our mothers have said that when their kids are home, that's not when they want to be meeting. So they prefer to do it on their lunch break. Hop onto a computer and join via Zoom. We'll be doing that April 8th again at 11 a.m. And then May 13th, when the weather's better in Wisconsin, we're going to try to come together, because there's just so much fellowship and good vibes that come from being in the room together. And that's when we are really going to start building an action plan. But Jackie, maybe we should back up and talk a little bit more about kind of how Chamber of Mothers came to be at the national level. And is that something you want to chime in on? I'll pass it over to you.
Sure. And Tara, please feel free to interrupt us with questions. We're not shy, and I get the sense you're not either.
you sense right.
So we know there are more than 85 million mothers in the U.S. This is not a small population of our greater American population, but we lack basic supports. As Andrea mentioned, it is the community vibe is, oh, this is so great, so joyous. Isn't that exciting that you've had a baby? This is all wonderful. And gosh, we hope that that's part of your personal narrative, because having a baby is awesome and beautiful, and you get to see those crooked toes. And also here in the U.S., it is underfunded. It is dangerous from a healthcare standpoint, and it is isolating. And so the Chamber of Mothers national group came together right after federal paid leave came out of the Build Back Better plan a couple of years ago. If you remember, there was a plan to actually put some paid leave into legislation, and it got pulled out at the last minute. So a group of moms came together and said, we are fed up and we are tired, fired up and fed up with this situation. And so the three areas that Chamber of Mothers is really focused on through the national advocacy group, as well as the regional and local chapters, are fighting for paid family leave. We know that 25% of moms are back at work just 2 weeks after giving birth. That's bad. No one wants that. Mm-hmm. And that 2 weeks after birth, you're still recovering from childbirth. Your body and your mind are not in any position to be back as a productive worker. And you should not be away from your new baby at that point in time. Mm-hmm. We are the only developed nation that doesn't have federal paid family leave. The next one up gives 14 weeks paid. So 2 weeks is not anywhere near where we need to be. Maternal mortality is a national emergency. I think, Tara, you touched on this. There's a lot of anxiety and fear around giving birth, and for good reason. Mm-hmm. We have the highest maternal mortality among the developed nations. And if you are a woman of color, it is 3 to 4 times worse. And that is ridiculous. We should be ashamed and we should be angry about that statistic.
Jackie, I'll throw in, I even have a personal friend who has been accepted to move to Canada and work remotely from Canada because she has anxiety about starting a family and doesn't feel safe that there would be life-saving measures in place were something to go wrong if she does become pregnant. And it's tragic. We're losing some top talent. And I think our state, too, stands to lose. Not everyone has the privilege to be able to hop across a national border. But we have neighbors in Minnesota and in Illinois that are investing heavily in becoming the best states in this country to raise a family. So that's what we're up against. That's what we're competing for being a community that wants to attract young people and their energy and their enthusiasm to start new business and build our economy and put down roots. But they can just as easily choose to start their family in Illinois or Minnesota, where they will be so much better supported with public policy and investment in children and families.
Yeah, and Wisconsin moms deserve that also,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
If you walk around, when I walk around the state capitol, it feels so energizing. There's so much intelligence and interest in business and getting the economy in a good spot. And there are fun businesses to walk down and go into on State Street. And all of that energy and intelligence and work that is happening here deserves to be supported as those families grow, and the moms that are doing that work deserve to be supported. The third area, I'm actually, Andrea, going to let you talk about, because that's your area of expertise, and that's affordable childcare. So we know childcare inaccessible and unaffordable. And even if you have a great paid family leave program, even if you have a healthy, safe birth experience and a healthy newborn, you hit those childcare years, and it is rough out there. So Andrea, I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. Happy to. So we know at a national level, 51% of Americans live in what we call a childcare desert. And that number is actually higher in Wisconsin. 54% statewide of our Wisconsin residents live in a childcare desert, which means that there are 3 or more children competing for every available childcare slot in a licensed, assured by the state that it is safe and healthy program. So 54% of Wisconsin, if you go into rural areas, that number climbs even higher. We are at 70% or higher of residents of Wisconsin in rural areas living in what is known as a childcare desert. And, you know, as we started to hit on, Jackie, these are not just women's issues. These are economic issues. These are whole community issues. We know statistically $122 billion is lost annually to the childcare crisis that we are perpetuating by refusing to invest in this area. And that number is derived through the lost earnings to families when they are not able to work due to lack of childcare, lost productivity that is reported by business leaders and companies because workers have to suddenly leave to cover a situation where they don't have reliable childcare, and it's lost revenue for lacking workers and lacking consistency and high quality productivity. So we can put this in real dollars and cents. And it's really important that we send that message. And it's also important that we tell our personal stories about the challenges we face in finding childcare. It's especially rough out there for infant and toddler care. We know that some families are getting on wait lists for childcare before they even conceive and become pregnant, before they even begin an adoption journey. They are going out there and putting their names on wait lists, and that costs money. And that's precious money that not every family has to invest in covering your options, getting on those wait lists for childcare. So we also know that infant care costs $12,000 a year, more than college tuition in this state. The feds the Office of Child Care define affordable child care as being able to pay about 7% of your family income towards child care. And that's a significant percentage, really, when you think about that amount, $12,000 a year. Wisconsin is paying 18% on average, and it can go up into 50% and higher even. When we're talking about single parent families earning minimum wage. So a lot of families are having to make choices, really hard choices, between paying for childcare or putting healthy food on the table, covering their bills, paying down their credit card debt. They just don't have the funds to cover all these things. And then we wonder, okay, well, why is childcare so expensive and yet the whole industry is falling apart? We have providers that are making $11 to $13 an hour on average in the state of Wisconsin. And that is not a livable wage, especially not for so many child care providers who are mostly women, more high percentages women of color in the state. So it's a really disparate situation in that we are expecting these caregivers to carry our society effectively on their backs and to just offer this service out of the goodness of their heart because they love children. While one out of five of them worries about putting food on the table for their own family here in the state in Wisconsin, half of child care providers in Wisconsin receive a form of public assistance. So we're paying for this in other ways. We're just choosing to not pay for it as an upfront investment in child care. Most providers lack health insurance, retirement, or any paid leave, whether that's vacation or paid time off for sick leave. A lot of parents wonder, like, I'm paying so much. Where is that money going? And it's simply the high cost of providing the service. And most developed nations, as Jackie was telling the story, most developed nations recognize this and they invest in early childhood education in the same way that they invest in K-12 education, because they recognize this is not a viable capitalist business model. We are not able to sustain high quality early childhood education with the number of adults that it takes to monitor those itty bitty kiddos. I mean, you can have up to 8 children in a family childcare center, but a lot of folks would argue, man, 3 or 4 is overwhelming. I had 2 okay. kids, and it's a lot, right?
Stay home with 1 and you feel overwhelmed,
yeah,
right?
You're exhausted. Man. So having 3 infants in your place, and then, the money just goes so quickly when you're also paying rent and supplies and food and all the different expenses, but really personnel costs, because that's the highest thing that's driving this unbalanced business model, is the high cost of paying, and they're only paying $11 to $13 an hour. But when you need to have X number of staff to fill the room, that's what it takes. And so these are unlivable wages. Families are struggling. It's just an unsustainable situation. And thankfully, our governor, I'll talk a little bit about how folks can get involved here in Wisconsin. Our governor does want to continue funding. We've had The good fortune of receiving COVID aid, whether that's a mixed blessing, right? We had to go through all that with the pandemic. But fortunately, we did receive significant federal aid that really propped up the childcare industry in this state. We're very, that's the only thing really that's keeping it going, because we are one of few states left that does not invest any state revenue into the childcare industry. Like I mentioned, our others in Europe and other developed nations are fully subsidizing and paying for teachers to make what is a respectable, you know, living wage for doing this really critical work of building brains and supporting families and supporting the economy in our communities. So Governor Evers wants to continue funding what's known as Child Care Counts, a program that was spun up during the pandemic to help cover some of those costs and allow providers to pay a little bit more. However, right now that funding is set to expire in June. And so we are running up against a cliff here. We're in a situation where legislators have refused to fund this program with state dollars in past. 2 years ago, they declined to do that. And Evers was able to come through with some different funding sources and sustain the program at half of its original rate for two more years. But now it's fully expiring in June. And I've spoken to many providers who cannot increase their tuition. Families can't afford it. They can't cut their costs. They're down to the bare minimum essentials of what it takes to care for children and infants. So if this funding doesn't come through, they are expecting to close their doors this summer. And we already, as I said, we've got 50 to 70% of Wisconsinites living in childcare deserts, and it's going to get a lot worse. So the solution really is people like women in our communities, mothers, parents, grandparents, really need to rise up. They need to make their stories known. The legislature has been very clear that they want to hear from their constituents. That's the only thing that's going to change their minds. So we need to be calling that Joint Finance Committee that writes the budget. And you're, especially if you have family, I mean, we're here talking to you in Madison, but if you have family and friends out in those rural areas, they need to be calling their conservative legislators and making their concerns about childcare known frequently. And, you know, there's another opportunity. April 16th is a day of advocacy for childcare at the Capitol. So that's another opportunity. You can sign up to go out. You'll get some advocacy training in the morning, and then they'll take you around the Capitol to all different legislator offices to talk to them, to tell your story, and to really directly ask them to please invest in this situation. So I rambled on a lot. You can tell I'm a little bit passionate about this issue.
Well, there was so much. Before we started, I told you that I would kind of feed from what you said and ask questions as they came up. And my brain is reeling right now because, one, the value of a mother in our society, right? Even past just the expectations of us in our families, is something very relevant right now. I'm blessed to have gotten to a point in my life where I control so much of my daily schedule. Mm-hmm. And because of my own successes and entrepreneurial spirit, I've given that to my kids. And so in our family, we are wrapping around my daughter who just delivered, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And we're already figuring out what time of the day works best for each one of us. Me and my oldest daughter have already changed our schedules to accommodate me being in the hospital and her having constant support and now coming home, being available, and we're taking shifts. And I was blessed as a young mom to have grandma did home daycare. Mm-hmm. And so there were things that I was able to avoid that are exactly what you're talking about, right? Like the stress of having a sick infant, we found ways to work around that because this is grandma's house, right? Mm-hmm. And even now, thinking about what you said, my daughter's both motivated but also needs to go back to kind of business as usual, mm-hmm, but is only being able to do that because of what I just said, that me and mainly her older sister have the flexibility in our own income, mm-hmm, to move what we have to do and still maintain. And I think about just, there was just so much in what you said. And then the reality of what's available, go back to what you said about Wisconsin not funding, mm-hmm, and that hurts hurt my brain to think of just another place that the solutions seem I don't want to say simplistic, right? Because the work to get there is complicated and hard. It's a long road. And it should not be, right? It really, if we just outline this is what needs to be done, this is what other places are doing. And then the strong impacts. We talk a lot about like the root causes to problems. And while there's clearly more systemic root causes, right, involved here, on a mother being unsupported, not being able to be confident at work. I think about the times that like my youngest daughter struggled a lot in elementary school and how many jobs I lost because I had to leave to take care of her and they cared about me punching in and being there at a certain time, right? Mm-hmm. And how that demanded I had to get a salary job, which was great. It allowed me to leave when I had to during the day, but it also made me made me absent a lot of times because I had to work. My hours were now in the evening or early morning. Mm-hmm. And I see that, like right now I'm dealing with what that has done in my family with these same adult kids who had to be what latchkey kids is what I think they called it, right? Mm-hmm. And how all of that comes back to the reality that advocating, that showing up on what day is it that we're advocating at the Capitol?
April 16th.
April 16th, to do nothing more than be a body and a voice in the space to tell the people who are at the tables where these money decisions are being made the reality, right? How often we talk about lived experiencing, like how we need people who really experience these challenges and navigate them to be at the tables, to be represented in the solution conversations and the budget conversations. This is it right here, right? For those of you listening, for those of you who will come back and check out the archives, this is exactly what we need to do. This is why we share, why we bring people on, and what you need to do. So yeah, we're all thinking about April 1st, right? If you are a politically minded, intentional adult, and even youth, you're thinking strongly about what happens on the 1st with our state Supreme Court elections. This is something that lies under that. That's a big issue. It's a big fundamental issue. And no matter how much advocacy we do, no matter how many stories we tell, if they fall on deaf or unconcerned ears, it won't matter. So I can't tell you which direction to vote. Vote with your heart and what your experiences are, right? With your mind. But also know that that's not the only place. That's not even necessarily the most powerful place for you to advocate, show up, and be involved. I need to hear more from you ladies because it's such a huge, overwhelming topic, right? And it's the reason why so many moms and so many people, so many families struggle. Not a father not understanding the struggles of a woman at home with that child while he's out facing the world causes communication issues in the home, right? How many families in my community are disjointed right now? I look at generationally my generation and the number of dads that are in the house versus the one that came before me and the one that my daughter's in right now. And just thinking about the work that we need to do and what the exact statistics that you ladies are sharing with us, how that really impacts in real life, right? Because then the other side, a couple years ago, I was involved in collecting some data and surveys of fathers and how they were impacted by how the state collects child support. And that resonated with me as well, because thinking about the first group of kids, their dad was very much engaged and available, but he had to give his time to Huber twice a year, right? Because financially he wasn't able to do things. And while the state viewed those finances, that child support check coming in as being their part to help me survive, it was those 10 days, those 15 days, sometimes 45 days that we had to figure out how to get the kids where they had to go and right, the physical absence. And that's just, that was such a small, huge piece. When we really got into the data, I try so hard not to be overwhelmed, and yet we live in this world where, it, like I said, it's a complicated road to get there, but the solution seems so simple. Thank you, ladies, for the part that you're playing in this, because what we do need is people who will sit down and say, what'd you say, fed up and fired up?
That's right.
Right?
Fed up and fired up.
We need the folks who will take that and take it past just being in that space, right?
Yep.
Just being fed up and fired up, and yet still I got to go to work today. I still have to get up and cook this breakfast. And the ones that take that extra time, like you said, to stretch and grow and get out here and help to lead the way. So thank you so much. And please share some more, because I need all of y'all who are listening to support this, and then go get like six people to come out with you. So you now, and it's usually it's just you, but now you got to bring seven people. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that's it right there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, This is the work of a community.
Mm-hmm.
No one person can do everything, but we can all do a little something.
But you know who tries to do it all the time, every day? Oh, mom.
Yeah, us. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We're positioned as the safety net for society. Mm. And you just described the beautiful honor and privilege you have to wrap around your daughter and that young baby. That is not a privilege that every family can afford or is even logistically feasible.
Well, and understand, that's decades of me working to get us here,
exactly,
too, right? Like my
exactly.
own mom, single mom struggle, where we're at now in the path I've created for my kids and my grandkids is because it's informed of the lack, right? What I had to do to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's absolutely a privilege and a blessing. And it was also a whole lot of heartache and work.
That's right. And you're mm-hmm. located here locally. You are in good enough health to be able to offer that assistance. Not every new mm-hmm. parent finds themselves with that support network around them. And so that's really where we come in to have to advocate for these actual policies and funds that are needed to build that real safety net.
And look,
for everyone.
I'm laughing because I know that my previous prego is listening, and I'm just going to just say, so respect and honor us, sis, because like you just heard the ladies say, not everybody has that. Because, yeah, you know, when you get it and you have it, you can also feel a little entitled, which we're not going to go there. We have a cranky new mom, and we love her. She's been working hard, but exactly, though, yeah. right? And I don't take that lightly
right.
at all.
Right.
And it's worth all the struggle and the work that has taken to get there and the work that I know is coming. And it's also a tragedy that I live in a resourced community. And the reality is that this is what we had to do in order for me to feel even semi-stable yeah. in supporting my baby and bringing home a baby.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to struggle so hard for it. Jack,
and you know, these issues are really intertwined,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
The pain that we feel with childcare, especially in that first year of life, ties directly back to paid family leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with a client recently who had a baby. Her company offered her 16 weeks paid leave. So this amazing company benefit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her husband worked for a company where he also got 16 weeks of paid leave. So between the two of them, they were able to stagger their parental leaves. They didn't have to put their baby in childcare until he was 6 months old. That's a huge difference.
That's ideal.
6 months old, exactly, who can start to do some solid foods,
mm-hmm.
Who doesn't need to take quite as many bottles as frequently,
mm-hmm.
Is just a little bit, you know your baby better at that point in time, so mm-hmm. you know how to advocate for your baby in the childcare situation at 6 months a whole lot better than you do at 3 weeks or at 8 weeks or at 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that paid family leave issue, we get that in place and suddenly there's a little bit of alleviation on the childcare crisis as well. We get better childcare funding and then maybe some of that maternal stress starts to alleviate that affects our maternal mortality rates. And
mm-hmm.
we talk a lot about maternal mortality, but there's a big spectrum of not thriving that happens before that,
mm-hmm.
that I think we should be talking more about because there are a lot of women who have babies who survive but aren't thriving in the way that they could with the supports that are available but maybe they don't know about or they don't know how to access or they can't afford or that their health insurance doesn't cover. So that's probably a whole nother conversation for another day, but the reason that Chamber of Mothers is so passionate about these three tenets, these three pillars, is that they're intersected, they're interconnected, they impact each other.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, you should talk a little bit about what you're doing at the Capitol today. Jackie and our third co-facilitator, we have a buddy, Pam, who's not able to be with us on the radio today, but Pam is going to join Jackie at the Capitol. So take it away.
Yeah, so there is a group, a couple different groups coming together to organize a day of action. It's through the Main Street Alliance, We Can, and Motherhood for Good, and also 9 to 5 Wisconsin. So these groups have come together and organized an advocacy day where we'll be meeting with our individual representatives at the Capitol to talk about some of these issues that we've talked about this morning. So specifically the childcare, as well as Medicaid. So we talked a little bit about maternal mortality and the rates of that across the nation and in Wisconsin. One of the things we haven't touched on yet is Medicaid coverage for postpartum care. So here in Wisconsin, over 40% of births are covered by Badger Care, by state Medicaid. And currently, a mother's coverage runs out after 60 days. So that's, you have a baby, 2 months later, you are no longer covered. So if you have a medical condition or crisis, you better have it in those first 60 days. Otherwise, your insurance is not going to cover you. Well, that's not practical. That is not the reality of how life works and how healthcare works. And every other state except Wisconsin and Arkansas has extended that postpartum Medicaid coverage up to the first year. So that's a bill that's on the table that we are asking Voss to bring up for vote. There is a lot of bipartisan support across the Wisconsin legislature to bring that forward and actually pass that act to get coverage up to a year for Wisconsin moms. That, again, almost half of births in Wisconsin would be covered by that. So that's the issue I'm super excited about talking to my representatives later today about. And then again, we'll be also talking about the healthcare and economic development going on. So there's those organizations I just rattled off, Motherhood for Good, 9to5 Wisconsin, We Can, the Main Street Alliance. We talked earlier about the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. There are a lot of groups in this area doing amazing work mm-hmm. to move things forward. And so Chamber of Mothers, we're just one more group adding to that pot to bring things forward, to be a voice, to make change.
And I hope you feel like we're friendly. Like, you can come to our meeting. We're going to have fun. We're going to build each other up. We're going to be part of a community that's being built. And that you can arrive with your strengths and not have to go into uncomfortable situations. If you don't want to go talk to people at the Capitol, you can lean into your friends at Chamber of Mothers who will do that. But you can be one of the people that helps plan and organize it, or behind the scenes. So we talk a lot about, like, what type of change maker are you? That's the meeting we just held at Chamber of Mothers, was taking a quick survey and talking about, what type of change maker am I based on my skills, my strengths, my passion? And that way, in community, we can bring out the best in each other and utilize each other's strengths to build a coherent, active platform for change. So we really hope you'll join us again. Those dates, April 8th via Zoom. If you go to the Chamber of Mothers website, chamberofmothers.com, look for the Madison chapter, or email us at madisonchapter@chamberofmothers.com. We will get you on the list. We'll get you connected. You can join our meetings April 8th via Zoom at 11 a.m. and May 13th in person on South Park Street at the Goodman Library. We'll be meeting at 6 p.m. and we will provide childcare. So there's really no barrier. We hope you'll join us and become part of this community and get active. If you're fired up and fed up like we are, there's your chance.
Well, and so one, we will provide links to the website and information. So if you're driving, you're out in the community and you weren't able to write that down, just come back to the website or our Facebook later on today, tomorrow. And our reluctant, fabulous co-host, John, will have that out there for you to make sure that you can follow up and connect with the ladies. Also, if you're not physically available, you can still advocate to your representatives, right? There's email, there's voicemail. Is there information about that on your website? Otherwise, you can go to the city's website and there's information about how you get in touch with folks. Mm-hmm. There is no excuse. You probably can even find a template that you just can copy paste and add a little bit of your own words to.
That's right.
Yep. And so we try to make it as easy as possible to get the numbers up and the representation up, because that your voice does count. Your number does count, right? It's the power of somebody being the person that can show up at the table, right? The person that has that characteristic and the time, who's at the table, is only powerful at the table because she can point back, he or she can point back and say, these thousands of people believe and represent me here today, that I am not a body and a voice, but I am the voice and representative of all these people who voted to get you where you're at, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, there's always the transaction. There's always kind of the base level. And instead of judging folks for that, let's just be realistic and deal in it, right? We know that if we show up with thousands of votes and words, that that's what matters at the table. As much as our heart tells us you should just care about this issue the way that I do, right? Mm-hmm. And so for those of you who are reluctant, we have a lot of folks that listen and come up to me in the community and they really are excited about what we share, but they don't know where to fit in. And so I often try to make sure that they hear what I'm saying. You don't even have to leave your couch, sis. You don't have to get off your phone. You don't have to trust the community that you want to be part of to come out and be part of it and not be harmed, because that's real, right? Mm-hmm. That's real depending on your experiences. You can still advocate and have your voice heard, but just dig in. Get involved, get educated. This is another opportunity, another group that you should know about, that you should understand and know where they work. And then what I really appreciate about you ladies, you talked about the partners and the work and the vast problems. And also, I've already heard kind of two really important key things that I've noticed in movements getting started. One, you found your niche. You understand that you're in this complex, huge world, but you've said these are our three pillars and this is what we want to impact. And what I've learned is that we have to scale down and take focus to make change. Mm-hmm. And that we have to allow other people to do the same and hope that they do it in a way that's collaborative and smart. But we have to trust in everybody's ability to do that and focus on what we know. And so I appreciate you prioritizing those things and making it very clear where you stand in that work. And then also your willingness to reach across and collaborate and understanding that this is a large community. And those are things. And then also that pathway, right? Saying that we're talking about what kind of advocate are you? How do you fit into this community? A lot of times folks come through with a lot of passion and want everybody to follow the steps and the way, like what was successful for me. We see that in the recovery world as well, right? This understanding that there's multiple pathways to get to the same objective. And so I really appreciate that you've already thought about that. And meeting two, you're already helping folks to see where their strengths lie and how they contribute and become part of this community. So that there can be that action. I see a lot of organizations stumble around finding that. And so congratulations to you for coming through the door with the level of understanding of that piece of our community. What in the final minutes that we have to communicate with this world that listens to WORT 89.9 FM? Y'all saw how I did that. Okay. Yep. Right? But what else can we tell them? What are we asking? I love to give them a call to action. So come out today, tomorrow. On the website, mm-hmm. April what day? I'm horrible with dates.
April 16th.
She knows her stuff.
That's the child care day of advocacy at the Capitol. And then today we've got a day of advocacy talking more about the Medicaid, maternal health issues. I understand you probably already have your day planned today, but there will be more. There will be more opportunities like this, especially in this critical phase we're in Wisconsin. Today we talked so much about our state budget because that's what we're living in right now. But that won't always be, you know, that budget's going to come through in June and July. That's going to be a done deal. We're going to be still marching, still moving. There's so much that we need to be doing at the local and federal level. We didn't talk about calling federal legislators about saving Medicaid. That's also critical right now. You know, they're looking to pass the national budget. At some point, hopefully, they will not defund Medicaid. Hopefully, they will. There are three bills at the federal level right now around child care. And it is a bipartisan issue. We are talking about bipartisan, economically supporting issues that really are not red or blue. Any side of the spectrum, they belong to all families, all parents, all children in our communities benefit from these. So we should be able to come together and find that common ground. That's what we're trying to do here. Chamber of Mothers, Madison chapter. We are the only chapter in the state of Wisconsin. I should mention that the national chapter has a goal. They want to have a chapter in all 50 states by the end of this year, and we're over 40 right now. So if you happen to upon this on the website, you're listening to us streaming, you can find a chapter near you. And our goal, honestly, is to spin off more chapters in Wisconsin. If we get past 25, 30 members here, they're going to be willing to give us another chapter in Wisconsin, whether that's in Milwaukee or upstate. You know, we've got members joining us from Oconomowoc right now, Eau Claire. We welcome one and all because here in the state, we are united. We're doing a lot of virtual work. You can join us as you are able. So we invite the whole state of Wisconsin to rally around this Madison chapter, Chamber of Mothers, and come along with us. Be part of the movement. Jackie, I'll throw it over to you for some final words.
No, I think that covers it really well. If you are passionate about getting protected paid family leave, accessible child care that is also affordable, and making an impact on improving maternal health, then check out Chamber of Mothers. If you have a different passion area, go do that. There's a lot of advocacy work to be done out there, and everyone can do a little something to make our world a better place. So I appreciate you having us on this morning, Tara. It was wonderful to have the opportunity to raise up some of these issues, and congrats again on your grandma status.
Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies, for coming and sharing. This is very powerful
work you're doing.
Lots of great information. Tap in, y'all. Figure it out. This is a place to join into the movement and at least be educated. If this isn't the thing, like she just said, if this isn't the thing that moves you to action, at least educate yourself, because I can't think of a person that's not impacted by the future of families.
That's right.
John, do we have a song maybe? I know I just throw him on the spot all the time, but let's see. We got a couple minutes.
Got a couple minutes to get a little Nadir Shakur.
Perfect.
We be lights all along, afro strong, locks, babes, twist braids, string data covered up, did my cultural display. My corner's beautiful, no matter how I choose to wear it and express my pride, my gratitude. Black as the night, brown like the earth, bright like the sun. Smooth, exquisite color, a rainbow having fun. Curvy hips, full lips, a derriere so fine. Got it from my mama, and I didn't cost a dime. One love, one race.
Oh, this is this one song.
Celebrating
who I be my whole life long.
Brown skinned human, born this way.
Celebrating my melanin. Digging the skin I'm in.
Digging the skin I'm in. Digging the skin I'm in.
Just so much soul. Oh, digging the skin I'm in.
Digging the skin I'm in. Digging the skin I'm in.
Digging the skin I'm in.
Digging the skin I'm in. Digging the skin I'm in. Na 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 na.
The skin I'm in.
Digging the skin I'm in. Digging the skin I'm in.
Jazz.
The rhythm of my people make the whole world move their ass. My contributions to the world are more than just a few. Every generation emulating what I do. We live and we learn the reason and the rhyme. We gotta let our light shine for anybody coming up behind.
Using my words and my voice, I sing for change.
Black lives matter.
Say it loud,
don't be afraid. One love, one race.
This is just one song.
Celebrating
who I be my whole life long.
Brown skin human, born this way.
Celebrating my
melanin.
Digging the skin I'm in.
Digging the skin.
In the curl of my hair and my little brown toes.
Yeah, yeah. Digging the skin I'm in. Digging the skin I'm in.
Tune into the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz with your girl Tia Baby, aka Tara, and I always enjoy it. Thanks for welcoming me back. I love being in the studio. Great guests, great info. Enjoy your day. WORT 89.9 FM.
You've been listening to Tuesday at 8 o'clock Buzz on WORT 89.9 FM, Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up next, 3 hours of folk music, Green Morning Radio with Brian Hirsch, right after the Insurgent Radio Kiosk. See you next week.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Tuesday, March 18th.
Can you be fired for being trans? I'm Bill Newman for the Civil Liberties Minute. It should be a simple answer. No! Because in 2020, the Supreme Court, in the case of Bostock versus Clayton County, decided 6-3 that an employer who fires an employee for being gay or transgender is violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Title VII prohibits employers from discriminating based on race, color, religion, national origin, and sex. And, as the Supreme Court made clear in 2020, the decision to fire a person because they're trans is a decision in which, quote, sex plays a necessary and undisguisable role, which is exactly what Title VII forbids. Fast forward to the second Trump term. Ready? The major avenue for seeking redress for employment discrimination is through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC. But Trump has fired 2 EEOC commissioners and its general counsel and issued 5 executive orders targeting trans people. As a result, the EEOC has moved to dismiss lawsuits against companies that have subjected transgender and non-binary people to hostile work environments and then fired them when they complained. Sure, a private attorney can still bring a case, but as a practical matter, without the backing of the EEOC, many trans people will have no redress and will be denied equality in employment. So much for equal justice under law. The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU, because freedom can't protect itself.
Join Operation Fresh Start today at 3 p.m.